Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you so much for joining us this week. All right, so my quote today is probably by one of my all-time amazing leaders of our world, by Zig Ziglar. And Zig says, "I believe that being successful means having a balance of success stories across the many areas of your life. You can't truly be considered successful in your business life if your home life is in shambles." Ain't that the truth? So for years, you know, we've been hearing inspirational speakers like Zig tell us that we can have it all, that we can balance our work, meaning having a rewarding career in a corporate environment or being an entrepreneur, that we could be credible to get into enough senior leadership positions. And then we can have that balance with life, spouse, kids, families, pets, even the occasional brunch with a friend on a Sunday. Well, later, with the introduction of mobile devices and globalization, some of us have said that it's not work-life balance, it's actually work-life integration, which is kind of true. Well, it doesn't really matter what we call it, right? The question really becomes, do you have it in your life, or do you feel like the word balance, integration, whatever, is nothing more than a pipe dream? It's kind of sad that many of us have to choose to miss maybe a dance recital or soccer game, or for me, a hockey game, due to the work demands. And the reality is that we need to work and we need our jobs to pay the bills for the dance and the soccer lessons and the hockey lessons. So where and how do we just draw that line to create that balance? Well, today we are in store for a treat. My guest is Janelle Jones. She's the CEO of Janelle Jones & Associates. Janelle specializes in executive coaching and talent management and has over 25 years of experience in human resource talent strategy. She does not look like she's been working 25 years. She looks too young. She has been a talent management executive for over 15 years, and after running executive development for the top three pharmaceutical companies, she decided to branch out on her own. You go, girl. As an executive coach, she works with leaders to assess and enhance executive behaviors, such as, so important, communication skills, leadership styles, and stakeholder management. As a talent management consultant, she's an expert at creating impactful and practical solutions to address talent challenges. And this includes challenges with recruitment. Some of you could probably relate to this. Recruitment, development, succession planning, employee engagement, diversity, and inclusion. Very big topics today. And Janelle works closely with a wide range of C-suite members in Fortune 50 companies and their leadership teams, as well as CEOs of companies employing 10 people. So please help me welcome my very talented guest, Janelle Jones, to the show. So Janelle, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
That was a little lengthy, my intro, but you have a lot of good credentials, and we really do have and a half hour so hard to just cover the amount that we have to with in diversity and inclusion and all of these things that we're not seeing, right, in the media and what have you. Real important, though, to have this balance in our life, which I think that sometimes we struggle with. So based on that, what are some of the highlights that you see with frequency with your clients?
Yeah. So, you know, thanks for having me, first of all. We're going to have a lot of fun with this conversation.
Totally.
Given your background and my background, one of the things that I just started to see with the executives that I've been coaching is not only do they struggle with that balance, but they actually beat themselves up about that struggle. And I think that when I finally tell them the cards that they've been dealt and the game that they're actually playing, the looks that come across their face, it's like this sense of relief. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation with you. I had a call not so long ago from a client of mine who wanted me to start doing some research on potential program for women of color, and to see where we might be able to curate some things to help women develop from senior leaders into executives. And I came across a research that was done by McKinsey & Company one of the premier consulting firms that's out there. They did something on women in the workplace. And I want to just let you know, I have some data over here and I want to get the numbers right. But once women start to realize what they're facing, you know, my hope is that they'll say, oh, no wonder why. It's tough. So while they recently discovered that 57% of the world's higher education graduates are women, right?
Interesting.
Right? And then 39% of the global workforce are women. So we fall off immediately, right? From the time that we get the graduate degree to the time that we enter into the workforce, you see that 18% of these graduates are never hired, wow. Right? Okay. So we represent 655 million fewer workers in the workforce than men. And while there's a high percentage of women who want to leave their companies, like 80%, it's typically to join another company. There's equal amount of people who say they want to leave the company to focus on family. 2% are women, 1% are men. So the reputation of women are going to want to eventually leave to focus on family, it's a myth. It's not true. We want to work because, like you said, we want to pay for the dance classes and we want to pay for the soccer and the cars to get us to the dance classes and the soccer, right?
Yeah.
So there's a forecast that by 2020, 13% of our global demand will go unfulfilled.
Wow.
Right. And so the other pieces that I've discovered is, while 57% are graduates, we make up less than 50% of entry-level positions.
How can that be?
Right. And then in terms of promotions, you'll start to see that we fall and we drop by at least 10% as you go to the next level. So it's not that we're not asking for the promotions. We ask for the promotions just as much as men do. And in senior positions, we ask for the promotions more than men do. The challenge is that, you know, when you look at who's getting the advice and the counsel of senior people, it's typically men. And there is a direct correlation between people getting advice and counsel from senior people around career and their trajectory. And it's typically because, you know, if you're a male leader and you're looking to give some sort of advice and counsel, you may not necessarily feel comfortable giving that advice and counsel to women because you're afraid of the reaction being emotional,
sure,
or the reaction being litigious. And so, you know, it just, the story is not a good one. We are getting the degrees. We're getting hired at lesser rates than men. We're getting promoted at lesser rates than men. We're not being advised. We're not being counseled. We're asking for the promotions. We're doing the work. We're working the long hours. But in some cases, you know, when you see this, the senior most ranks, 1 in 5 executives are women. So we just continue to fall off until we get to the top. And you know, it's not an easy story to endure. And when women start to, you know, beat themselves up about, you know, work-life balance and striving to get that career and things of that nature, there is an unconscious bias that plays out in the workplace that unfortunately we're facing. And we think it's us, but it's not us. It's the workplace, it's the processes, it's the system that has this filtering that occurs that we are fighting against constantly.
And you know, Janelle, first of all, the stats, thank you. That was amazing, right? Because the numbers speak, and it is what it is. The unfortunate thing is, I think that because women couldn't vote, you know, 100 years ago, whatever it was, and we weren't in the workforce, we were home taking care of the babies or educating the kids at home, right, and all those things. To turn this ship is not an easy, it's not an easy thing. So I to blame men, I think is silly, because I think it's the system, it is what it is, and it's set up the way it is. And yeah, now it's time for a change. And the other thing that you said is men, I think, feel more comfortable giving advice and meetings, right? Closing the door and having meetings with other men. And you see it in the news every day. I just started a business with three other partners called the Roundtable Group because there's such inequality in the business, just all those stats that you just showed. But there's also biases that we come to work with and prejudices, and we have our own stuff, right, that we bring to the table. So now these poor executives, and you see Matt Lauer, the newest one, NBC or CBS, whatever it's just mind blowing that this behavior exists. But then I think men that are good guys, like legitimate good guys, if they give a little attention to a woman, it's going to be misperceived as well. So I feel like I personally, this is my personal opinion, the stats make me sick. Because it should not be, right? It should not be in a perfect world. I think the process for hundreds of years speaks to those numbers, right? And I the good news that I got from that, Janelle, is that 57% of the workforce women, if I understood this correctly, have graduate degrees. Bravo for us women that go for these advanced degrees. Kudos. The flip side, though, is we're not utilizing those degrees because of all of these ancillary things. And you know what the sad thing is? And we were talking about this today. There is no easy answer on, right, and how to make this better. And I'm going to ask you this. I don't think this can happen or we can shift this mindset overnight. And what do you think?
Yeah, so I agree with you in that blaming anyone is not productive, not helpful.
No.
And in some cases, when you're facing a system that has a bias, the bias is typically unconscious.
It is.
Right. And so the bottom line is, it is, from an economy perspective, impossible for one person to stay home and not work. In just about all cases, both parties have to work in order for you to be able to, you know, have a household with food, et cetera. So it's a tough situation to be in. And this has been the case. Women have been in work since World War II, right? Mm-hmm. I think the thing is that once women have established what they want to do from a career perspective, we can't get comfortable. And we do take a job, we get comfortable, and we do the job, and we think that the work is going to speak for itself, mm-hmm. and that's not the case. Doing the job is just the price of admission. There are lots of other things that have to happen in order for a woman to proceed in their career, to reach the trajectory that they have intended. One of the things that I think needs to absolutely happen is women have to remain in play. Don't ever get comfortable. And so there are lots of women out there who don't network and on a regular basis. And so going to professional events, doing the networking, building relationships, especially when you don't need the relationship for any specific purpose. Because if you wait for something to happen where you absolutely have to get out there and meet people and find out what are the opportunities out there, what's going on, people see the desperation on you. Always remaining in play. Always making sure that you have a fresh resume, that your LinkedIn profile is up to date and fresh. Taking an interview once every 6 months to make sure that you have a great way of telling your story. Understanding how you can tell the story in a way where you have taken on meaningful and challenging positions and opportunities. And then you can actually start to think about your career in that way. Should I take that opportunity? Because I know if I'm sitting on the opposite side of the table of a recruiter or a hiring leader, it's just, I'm not going to be able to articulate that story very well. So it's just not going to make sense. Looking for CEOs who basically declare that diversity and gender and inclusion are a business imperative. And it's a business strategy, and it's one of my top five things that I want to focus on for this organization, because that's how this organization is going to win in the marketplace. That is a CEO you absolutely want to work for, and it's not going to necessarily be a woman. There are lots of, like you said, good guys But this is not just about being a good guy. This is not about social work. These CEOs fully realize that innovation is based on a diverse representation in the workplace and different ways of thinking, different ways of seeing things. So, you know, that those are some of the things that they really want to consider doing as they think about their careers. And even if you say, you know, had this meeting, it was a great meeting, it was a great organization, but I want to stay where I am, phenomenal. You still have a good understanding of what your worth is. You still are working on your brand internally and externally, and you're doing it when you don't necessarily have to do it. So it's a regular practice and it's a regular process. And it's almost like planning your vacation, you know, when things get tough at work and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, in 2 months, I'm going to be, you know, on the beach, you know, relaxing. If you are constantly managing your brand and your career, it gives you a better outlook and a better perspective of who you are and what you have to offer. And you don't feel stuck, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And it's funny, I want to just comment on when you're desperate. I have a colleague from many, many years ago, and I had left the bank to start my own business. And she stayed and went up through the ranks. And then there was a huge reorg at a bigger bank, and she wasn't sure she was going to have her job. Now, we had a bunch of us would get together, continue to network, and, you know, who went here, who went there, but we would get together. We liked each other, and it was always, hey, what's going on with you? And you never know, right? You never know what would come from those conversations. And all of a sudden, there's this reorg going. We always invited her. It was radio silence. We never would hear anything. And then all of a sudden, reorg, and she comes to one of the dinners, and can you help me circulate my resume? And we were like, oh my God, of course, whatever we could do. And then the reorg happened. She got a position within that organization, radio silence again. And I said to the you know, the ladies that we would get together, you know, maybe once, twice a year. It wasn't frequently, but we liked each other. And I said, I'm never sending her an invite again, because that I don't ever use a friendship for business or gain. I'll ask for help. You know, can you look at my resume? What do you think? What am I missing? But I never say, can you help me get a job? Or if I'm with you on a regular basis, you know what's going through, you're going to help me automatically. But to just use that friendship or that network when you need it, it does not look good. And I have to tell you, it really, really annoyed me. And I thought, oh, we're only good when you need help. Shame on you. That's not a friendship and that's not networking, in my opinion. The other thing I wanted to comment on is the CEO. I think this is so important, and they are out there. My team, my partners, the Roundtable Group, we just had the privilege, and I'm going to say privilege because we're doing a beta testing at a university up in North Jersey. And Dr. Dave Haney, who's the president of the entire university, he saw with the foresight that when my colleague, who is an alum from there, went in and said, there's an issue with inclusivity, gender, you know, collaborative communication, just disrespect in the workplace. And we have this model that we want to test. Can we come in and test? And he was all over it. He's like, holy smokes. Absolutely. Let's do it. What do you need from me? What do you need from my team? Let's meet with the executive team. How can I use your knowledge and your expertise in this model to make my university better? Because he says if my executive team is diverse and can think with innovation, can you imagine how that's going to trickle down to the classroom, to the curriculum, to the admissions? He sees that bigger picture, that by him doing this legwork going in, the results going down to the kids. And after we met him, I remember coming out and saying to my colleagues, we had lunch to debrief and, you know, talk about the meeting, what we could have done differently. Always try to make yourself better. And I said to my one colleague, I go, can we bring him to every organization? Like, whoo! Like, he gets it, totally gets it. So kudos to Dr. Haney. They're out there, you know, and I love how you said that. Because the CEO drives really the vision within the culture. Yeah, top down, man.
That's what starts in the top.
Yeah, it really does. Quick question now. Do you see a difference with, because the millennials, I think by 2020 are going to be a huge population. I think it's like 70% of the workforce are going to be millennials. My stats could be wrong. I'm not handy dandy like you with the numbers. Very prepared. I like it. But the millennials are going to be, and the boomers were so big, right now they're taking over. Do you see a difference between the perception of this work-life balance, of the trajectory of career? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think the millennials have a very different attitude towards corporate America. Corporate is starting to recognize that if they don't start to think about how to engage the millennials different than they have engaged the boomers and Generation X, they're going to, you know, have some real challenges with getting the talent necessary to solve tomorrow's problems. So millennials are already vice presidents in Fortune 500 companies. And one of the things that you'll hear is millennials, have this sense of entitlement and come in wanting to have a rapid trajectory of their career, getting quick promotions, et cetera. So in some cases, pulling them through the ranks is important in order to retain them. The other piece of it is going to be making sure that you have support in place so that they can make those tough decisions that typically you don't have the skill set to do until you've been seasoned with different pressures and experiences and things of that nature. What do I think is going to happen? You already are seeing that millennials want to see some balance. They're not going to tolerate the lengthy hours, having to be in the office just for the sake of FaceTime. They already want the flexibility of being able to work from home. They already are driving certain communities to create hubs where I can ride my bike to work. I can, go to an open floor plan and collaborate and things of that nature. So they're already starting to drive how businesses are thinking about engaging their talent. My sense is that with women, I don't think they're going to tolerate as much as the previous generations. And I think that they are going to be in the driver's seat, and organizations are definitely going to have to continue to think differently on how they engage. Boomers are not going to go away that quietly. They are going to work much longer than the other generations have, before them, even if it's part-time. So I'm in high hopes that the boomers stick around and they are kind of like the coaches who continue to groom the millennials help them make some of those tough decisions on behalf of the organizations. And so, this is not necessarily a gender-specific answer, but I just don't see where the millennial women are going to tolerate some of the demands that that corporate has placed on women prior to them.
Yeah, and excuse me, I agree. I hope that baby boomers like myself, that we do stick around to help develop, because here's the thing. I really believe, Janelle, that the millennials, I learned so much from them with technology, application of apps and how it can make me even more efficient. They're constantly teaching me. On the flip side, though, the millennials that approach me that ask for advice, they see the wealth and value of that I am seasoned. And I say I'm hot and spicy when I say I'm seasoned, by the way, Janelle. I'm hot and spicy, baby. But there's a lot, 36 years in the workforce, and especially in financial service, financial sales, I have a lot of wisdom that really can help them speed up their career as well. So I think that the innovation from the millennials, is so important. But I do think we still bring a lot to the table, meaning the baby boomers. And because we're in better shape, we're living longer, all of those things. I really hope that we do stick around to share that, because here's the deal. The millennials are our future leaders. So we really do have to teach them some of these skills, but allow them to be them and allow them to bring the innovation as well. So it just, we're living in a real, real interesting time, I think, in the corporate environment, right?
We are. And they already are leaders. In many cases, they're already leading, have big leadership positions because they're already in their 30s.
Yes.
And I think many people don't realize that they're, you know, they've taken on very challenging positions. And, you know, as boomers start to think about retirement, their chapter two is not necessarily going on a golf course and, you know, and that's it. They still want to be engaged and they still want to be challenged. And so, no, they're not going away that quickly. In many cases, boomers are start, you know, they may retire, but they're going to consult. Or they're going to come back part time, or you know, in some capacity, because the thought of not having some sort of critical assignment when they wake up is just not appealing. And so, even better for us. And you know, the X's Generation X. So the Generation X, there were in our 50s, it's that generation has been, I would say, kind of squeezed a little bit between the boomers and the millennials. And I think that the X's have taken the brunt of the old corporate America and having beating ourselves up and trying to figure out how to make that. I think that, you know, when I talk to my clients about, you know, how do you balance this and can we have it all? And, you know, those kinds of conversations, what I typically find from my clients is, you know, women are, I think it's 54% of women who are doing housework versus 22% of men who are doing housework. And that's the big frustration, right? But when I talk to my clients, what I'm finding is they're not really saying where they need the help. And I'm like, listen, you know, in a relationship where you have male-female marriage, I can't really speak to, you know, the other additional dynamics, you know, within a marriage. There's a certain way you have to operate. They're not necessarily going to know what you need help doing until you articulate it, and you cannot wait until you're frustrated or behind frustrated to articulate it. You have to do it before you're frustrated. So just like your comments around you only talk to me when you need something, I always tell my clients, look, make a deposit in the bank before you make a withdrawal. So that's around networking. But at home, number one, you want to articulate what you need before you get frustrated. Make that deposit before you make the withdrawal, because your frustration comes through and you won't get the reaction or the behaviors that you're looking for. When you do get the behaviors that you're looking for, the kitchen floor got mopped, or you know, the dishes were washed, celebrate those behaviors. Because there's, you know, nothing like telling a guy how sexy he looks with a mop in his hand. He's going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He does. If he recognizes the fact that that mop is a little bit of foreplay, he's mopping, right? So definitely, you know, ask for help. Don't be prideful. And, you know, when you get some of those behaviors that you're looking for, definitely celebrate those behaviors with your spouse and with your kids so that you can get more of it. I can't tell you how many times I've coached my clients on something as simple as those things. And they not only got a reaction that they were not expecting, you know, in a much positive way, but their spouse was, you know, basically like, I don't know who you're talking to, but I like it. I like who you're talking to. So keep talking to that person.
Awesome.
It just kind of, you know, it's no longer about the fighting. It's, you know, we have a partnership. So let me calmly approach this partnership while I'm not frustrated in a calm, reasonable way.
I'm cracking up because I could remember the moment that I was beyond overwhelmed. My kids were little. I started the business. I had a baby. I had two babies at home. One was starting preschool and we chose a co-op so that I could be active. My husband could be active in the school because the message for our kids was education is important. So we felt, well, let's take a proactive role. And I remember going to the meeting and how many mother help days you had to do and what had to be painted on the school and all of this stuff. And I, you know, committee I had to join. And I remember driving home thinking, I have that networking, I have that training, I have this. And my hands got tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter around the steering wheel. By the time I got home, I was shaking, thinking, how am I going to do all this? How am I going to do all this? So I remember walking in overwhelmed, and my husband said, what's the matter? Now, I don't cry, Janelle, ever. I'm the one, if there's a problem, let's face it, what do we need to do? I burst into tears out of pure frustration. So he was like, what happened? Because I don't cry, right? And I said, how am I going to do? I have this, I have this, I have this, this, and I have to food shop, and I have to cook it. I have to, and I couldn't breathe. I felt so, and I, you know, think, well, I'm superwoman. I should be able to do it all. And he looked at me and he goes, how about if I do the laundry, and how about if I food shop? Will that help you? And I go, yeah, I hate doing both of those. Yeah, if you could do that, yeah, that would save me, blah, blah, blah. And do you know, we're married 26 years, my kids are in college. Guess who still food shops and does laundry?
Yeah.
He does, because, you know, I have my own business, and then I'm partners in two other businesses. I'm going to networking events. I travel all over to speak. So he has seen my trajectory of business and busyness increase. Even as my kids are now, we're empty nesters. And last night I got home really late. I came home, he had a beautiful salad he made with eggs and shrimp. And he goes, is that good? Do you want me to do it? I was like, you're the best, Michael. You're my rock star. 26 years later, kids are out of the house.
What was his reaction when you said, you're the best, you're my rock star?
He just left. He goes, Connie, it's a salad. And I go, dude, like, I love you. I love you so much for doing this. I'm tired. Like, now I'm tired. It's 7:30 at night. I didn't want to come home and have to make the salad. And he did it for me. So, you know, I think women, but men also, I hope men are, because I do have male listeners on the show. We do need help. You can't do it alone. And for men, if you think, oh, she's handling it, my wife is a rock star, just ask a man, you do so much. What can I do? What can I take off your plate to make your job a little bit easier? Instead of coming home after they do their exercise, workout, what have you, come home, instead of putting your feet up, maybe do the dishes or mop the floor, throw a load of laundry in. Ask, because to have that balance, and that it has to be a partnership. It really, really does. And the other thing, and I know we're out of time, but this is important. We need to get kids involved. My kids had their chores. My kids had to put their dishes in the sink from when they were little kids. And my husband and I giggle because now they're 19 and 22. So when they're home from college, and of course we feed them, but they take their dishes, have it, and they put them in the sink, and they look at my husband and I say, thanks for dinner. And they walk away, and I go to my husband, do they really think we're not going to feed them? Like, if they don't put their dishes in the sink, like, did we threaten that at some point?
Right.
But they do, and they go to friend's house, and the moms call me and say, your kids, they put their dishes in the sink. They help me clear off the table. They say, where's the Tupperware? I could put this food away. You have to get your kids involved, especially in dual working families. They don't need to be coddled, right? It's truly a team dynamic. And I know we got off topic. I have one more question, and then we do have to end. What kind of resources or professional support is really out there for women to understand their role and to be heard, I think, by the male-dominated? I think men don't know. I think the system is in place, but I don't blame men. I think the system's in place. So what resources do you think women can use?
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a few things. Many organizations have affinity groups, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't necessarily – I would always recommend that women identify the affinity group that most helps to address the challenges that they face. So it's kind of like finding your posse and being able to say, okay, so this is what I'm dealing with. Have you had the same, challenges? Professional networking, which can serve a couple of different purposes. Number one, identifying some of the challenges that you're facing as a professional, in addition to networking for different opportunities in organizations that may be a better fit to what you're looking to do from a career perspective. I always will say, you know, look for masterminds, which are becoming more and more popular. Lots of masterminds out there that will help a woman manage how she is balancing work and life. Identifying a coach, whether it is a life coach to help you sort out how to live a balanced life, a career coach to help you identify what kind of career is a great fit for what you're looking to achieve from a career perspective and from a balance perspective. An executive coach, which really helps you get into executive behaviors. That's what I really focus on, leadership. But of course, as an executive, as a leader, when you're handling these challenging roles, your personal life does have impact, or the role has impact to your personal life. So there are lots of things going on there. And there is never anything ever wrong with a therapist, which can help you break through some of the challenges that you face, some emotional triggers that surface that you haven't been able to break through or put to rest. Most people, maybe behind closed doors, have had some sort of engagement with a therapist. For whatever reason, it hasn't necessarily been that popular. I think that's another thing that the millennials, I'm sorry, will do differently, is I think they'll be more open and honest about their engagement with mental health professionals. And I say therapy because you're, while it's great calling up your friends and, you know, chit-chatting over a plate of food, your friends are not trained professionals. In some cases, they just can't help you on with certain issues or topics. And I have plenty of conversations with friends where they wanted to talk to me about certain things, but as a person who's not a trained professional in that way, it's better for them, more beneficial for them, to go to someone who's trained to handle some of the issues that they're facing.
Yeah, and I know we're out of time, but we all have stuff, man. Like, right, Janelle, we all got crap we're dealing with, and we have, you know, these hidden beliefs from generations gone by, and we're still carrying them that just aren't serving us anymore and really are holding us back, and we don't even know what they are because it's going on the subconscious or unconscious unconscious level. So yeah, I agree, and I do think millennials are much more open to that whole therapy, hiring a coach. They're not afraid to say, what do I need to do differently? What do I need to do better? And I think my generation thinks that we have all the answers. We don't.
Yeah, no, and I think having a mentor to help you navigate corporate politics.
Agree.
And getting a sponsor, which is very different from a mentor, to be able to advocate on your behalf behind closed doors so that you can get those meaningful and challenging projects, more exposure, and impact that career trajectory. So those two things are critically important for women who are in leadership positions, pursuing leadership positions, but in corporate America, or even if you're an entrepreneur, you still need a mentor.
I agree, because you don't know everything, and we do have blind spots. You don't know what you don't know, right? Until you know it, then you can't unknow it. I say that all the time, but it's really true. We have blind spots, so sometimes we need help, you know, discerning or differing how to approach it and change it, right? If you would like more information from Janelle, two ways to reach her, and I will post this on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform. Website, JanelleJones.com. So it's J-E-N-N-E-L-L Jones, J-O-N-E-S.com. Email Janelle directly at Janelle@JanelleJones.com. Also, if you need my help or you want me to cover topics on the show, questions about sales, coaching, whatever it might be, please reach out to me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. Also, my partner and I on Wisdom Decoded, we're still offering that free communication style assessment, wisdomdecoded.com, right on the landing page. And you do get a little report, gives you a little bit of insight as to who you are. Again, just what Janelle and I were speaking about, to peel back our little onions and start to see blind spots. And that report helps you do just that. So wisdomdecoded.com, it's a communication style assessment, free, right on that platform. Janelle, thank you again for just being lovely, articulate, and this is such an important topic. I almost think we might have to do a part two to this. Do you think?
Absolutely.
Your
listeners are up for it. I am.
Yeah. It's a big topic. And I just think that men and female, I know we kind of honed in on the female end of things, but I think both, male and female could use this help, in how to continue their trajectory in a positive, uphill, you know, kind of manner. So thank you again. It was a delightful conversation. I truly appreciate, you taking the time to be on.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure, a true pleasure. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together just how to grow and challenge ourselves. Some of the tips that Janelle has given today, I do hope you take and run with them and challenge your own growth so that we can become better, faster, easier, quicker, whatever it is for you. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm Connie Whitman, your host. I can't thank you enough. Go out, have a wonderful, inspired week, and please take one of the recommendations Janelle gave.